Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Your first mission is to keep yourself happy.
It's living for self that is so exhausting and frustrating because you were made to live for Him. So when you begin to please Him, you begin to thrive. It's not a burden. It's not a duty. It's a joy. I come alive. This is what I was made for.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Sometimes the door just opens itself. This is Wretched Radio on a Witness Wednesday. University of Georgia, wandering the campus, looking for somebody to witness to, just hoping that a door would open up for me. And indeed it did, and indeed it does. So often we're afraid to share our faith because we think, oh, I'm going to have to work so hard to segue the conversation from the realm of the physical into the realm of the spiritual. What will I use? What question will I ask? Sometimes it's good to be prepared for that. Other times, you meet a fellow named Reese, and the door is already open.
We're going to talk to this fellow who I have not met yet. Is that correct, young man? I have not met you, correct?
I'm Reese.
Reese, nice to meet you. Hold on. Let me take my little microphone here. Reese?
What are you studying here at UGA?
Right now, I'm studying for a religion test. I have right now in like an hour.
Really?
Yeah.
Why are you studying religion?
Because I'm required by my major.
You have to.
I have to.
Did you want to?
I don't mind it.
All right, now I'm fascinated. So you're taking religion, mm-hmm. and is it all religions that you're studying?
Right now it's Islam, Christianity, and I think Muslim.
It's the same as Islam. A Muslim. Buddhism.
No.
Hinduism.
No.
Mormonism. Shintoism.
What way is it?
Oprahnity. The religion of Oprah Winfrey.
Okay. No, it was,
Do you think all religions are the same?
Maybe.
All right, if I told you, Islam says you've got to keep 5 pillars of the faith, mm-hmm. and then maybe, just maybe, when you die, Allah might be pleased, you will potentially go to heaven if you've done those things perfectly, and you will inherit 72 virgins. Mm-hmm. That's basically a summary of Islam in the afterlife. Fair enough?
Fair.
All right. Christianity says all the things that you do to try to earn your way to heaven are actually self-righteous. They're sinful because we have a corrupt, sinful nature. Everything we do is sinful and wrong, and God must judge us, and there's no way we can earn our way to heaven. But if we repent and put our trust in His Son, Jesus Christ, then it will be a gift given to us based on the works of Jesus and not on our works, because all of our works are like filthy rags. It's a little summary of Christianity. Do you think those two religions are the same?
Different in detail, but it's basically the same.
How?
You're going to somewhere. You're going to heaven. Okay.
But that would be like me saying, okay, you're wearing a shirt, I'm wearing a shirt, therefore we're the same.
That's true.
Okay, so basically one says you got to work there, maybe. The other one says it's a free gift of God because of Jesus Christ, by grace alone.
Okay, then not, they're different.
Do you think they're both valid?
I'm an atheist, so I think they're valid ideas, but I don't think that they're...
Do you think they're wrong?
Yes.
Good on ya. Well, you do. Yeah. I appreciate that. Okay, so you think they're wrong. All right, so you're an atheist. You believe there's no God, period.
I believe there's no God.
All right. I'm going to try to convert you to being an agnostic.
Okay, and I know what that means.
All right. An agnostic means you just don't know for sure.
Yeah.
All right. Atheist, basically, A, negates the word theism, which is God. So there's no God. That's your position. Definitively, there's no God. But to maintain that position, you have to have all knowledge of everything that is happening, has happened, what's going on Mars, what's going on in Nebraska, which really pretty much the same landscape. You have to know everything about everything to definitively state there is no God. Do you have all knowledge of everything?
No.
Therefore, there's a chance that God could exist.
Yes.
You just don't know.
I just don't know.
Congratulations, you're an agnostic.
All right, I'm an agnostic.
Dude, you backslid right here on this bench. All right, did you grow up in a Christian home?
I grew up in a Catholic home, and actually did call myself an agnostic a couple years back and switched it over to atheism just because I didn't want to believe in any kind of God.
How come, dude?
I don't know. I think I'm a logical-minded person, and I like to have proof for what I think. So I guess I'm just saying against what atheist is. So now that I'm just saying that I'm agnostic because I don't have proof that there isn't a God, so I can't say that I'm an atheist. So I'm just contradicting myself.
But that's okay. But you wanted to demonstrate that God doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. Why don't you like the idea of God?
I think it gives false hope. I think that when you die, you probably not gonna just gonna be in the ground or dirt.
So you want some evidence to prove that God exists?
Yes.
How much do you need?
Probably some pretty solid evidence.
All right. If I could give you a ton of evidence, do you think you'd be convinced that God exists? A miracle?
A miracle. Maybe a miracle.
All right, I got a miracle for you. Okay. You're looking through them right now. Your eyes. Over 100 million light-sensitive cells right behind your eyeball, all working in coordination so that you can see, take in this information, and process it in your brain so you know what's going on. Mm-hmm. That wasn't luck. That's a miracle. You're made by God.
Or I was made by evolution, and I mean, just the same way that animals evolved and...
I understand, but consider the symmetry of your eyes. Yeah, I understand, but how does a rock or how does somebody who doesn't even understand the refraction of light know that there's light out there somehow to determine that I can comprehend what's in front of me? I don't even know what the concept of sight is if I don't see anything. Okay, you don't even see darkness when you're blind. You don't see anything. There's nothing. So how would this bench know that there's something out there to be seen and then go about the business of evolving eyes?
Are you saying a bench can evolve?
Well, ultimately, you evolved supposedly from a rock because you came from something that didn't have life into life. So somehow you jumped from being a rock to being a human being.
Okay.
So somehow we came up with the idea that there's stuff out there to be seen and I can process it. I don't think that could all happen by luck and chance. I think that it takes so much design, so much complexity. Somebody had to design it and put you together. And so that, I think, is your miracle. But I think there's even more. I think you got a whole universe. This whole thing is so complex and so marvelously made. You have to just look at it and go, you know, there's a microphone maker. I've never met the guy. I've never been to the factory. But there must be a microphone maker because there's a microphone. Mm-hmm. There must be a universe maker because there's a universe. I think the universe screams to you God exists. How's that for proof?
I think the universe is very, very good argument. But the Big Bang is also a great argument, and how everything can come. You guys in Christianity.
How did you know I was a Christian? Now, why didn't you think I was a Muslim or a Buddhist?
I just
guessed. All right, hold it. I'll tell you what. I'm going to try to right now circumvent your intellect, and I'm going to go to a different part of your brain.
Okay.
Instead of your intellect, I want to go to your conscience. It's that area in your brain that goes, this is wrong, this is right, this is good, this is bad. And I want to try to poke at it a little bit, okay, and see if we can stir you in your conscience. Now, I was looking at this. This is the books of the New Testament, and it describes Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Now, you said also that you like Judaism. You were studying Judaism as one of your world religions, correct? In the Old Testament, which is the Torah for the Jewish people, the laws of Moses, do you know what those are?
I can't remember.
Ten Commandments.
Okay.
All right. Do you know the Ten Commandments?
I do.
All right. Give me a couple.
Thou shalt not steal.
Stop right there. Have you ever broken that commandment?
Yes.
You've stolen something. Mm-hmm. Right. If you knew that I stole something, what name would you give to me? What would you label me?
A thief.
Give me another commandment.
Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife.
Stop right there. You ever done that?
You
ever covet, desired anything that didn't, forget the neighbor's wife, anything that didn't belong to you?
Of course.
So you're a coveter also?
Mm-hmm.
Give me another commandment.
Thou shalt not idolatrize, isn't it?
That's right. Committed, yeah. To make a graven image. Mm-hmm. Because God wants your affections to be for him, the one who made you and gave you life. Mm-hmm. Have you committed idolatry?
Well, growing up as a Catholic, I feel like I have.
But has God always been the primary affection in your life where you've been living for him, honoring him with everything you do?
No.
Okay. Give me another commandment.
Thou shalt not murder.
Have you ever done that?
No.
All right. Let me tell you what Jesus said. He said that if you just call somebody an idiot, a moron, you're just mad at somebody, you're in danger of the judgment, because that makes you a murderer at heart. You don't commit the act, but that anger God sees very similar to murder at the heart. Now, it's not as gross a sin, clearly, but it's still a violation of God's law and his perfect standard. Have you ever murdered somebody in your heart?
I don't think I could in my heart.
Do you drive a car?
I do.
Ever been mad at somebody down the road?
I have.
All right, so have you committed murder in your heart?
I think that's a stretch.
All right, let me try another one. All right, Jesus said, if you look with lust, you've committed adultery in your heart. Now, you look like a normal guy, so I'm just going to trust that maybe you've violated that commandment, but it's none of my business, okay?
Got to take a little time out. Did you hear how easy that was? You ask somebody something even totally unrelated to the gospel, and it simply presents itself as an opportunity to witness to somebody. Don't let your segue scare you. Often, and I do mean often, I didn't consult George Barna, so I don't know the exact statistic. Not sure he always does either. But the point is, sometimes just talking to somebody will lend itself to a conversation about the gospel. And you just heard a perfect example of that. We are going to return to our conversation with Reese. Be prepared. It's an absolute heartbreaker. Next on Wretched Radio.
Trust the science. You've heard it a million times, usually right before someone uses it to shut a conversation down instead of open one up. But science is a tool, it's not a judge. And like any tool, it depends on who's holding it and what they already believe. Think about it. Two scientists can look at the exact same data and walk away with opposite conclusions because each one brought a different worldview to the table. Science also leans on a few things it can't prove, that the universe stays orderly and that our minds can actually grasp truth. Both make the most sense of a rational God made it all. You take him out of the picture and you're left trusting that chaos somehow adds up. That's where In the Beginning with Dr. Jason Lyle comes in. He's a PhD astrophysicist. He'll teach you to read the science headlines without getting played. New episodes of In the Beginning are dropped every single Wednesday on every single podcast platform in existence or at fortisplus.org.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke? Or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Beautiful campus. All of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number six for preparing students for the real world. All that. Plus, the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
You know those really big questions you get when your kid comes home from college? You know the ones about whether God exists, if the Bible can be trusted, why there's evil in the world, or what's wrong with everyone else's view on sexuality? Yeah, those. Road Trip to Truth doesn't dodge them. This resource is hosted by John Ferbarez, and it goes straight to college campuses and talks to students who are asking these very same questions. But it doesn't just stop there. No, no. Then there are the experts that give the real answers with topics like science and faith, pornography, social media and mental health, critical race theory, marriage, eternity, and that's not even the half of it. If you have teenagers, this is the stuff they need to hear before the world gives them its version. And if you don't have teenagers, you'll still learn something. Road Trip to Truth, all four seasons available right now on Fortis Plus for free. Download it now where you download apps on your smartphone, your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org.
Lexicon. There are many words to help us understand the nature of the Bible. Words like inerrancy. The Bible is the Word of God, and God cannot err. Therefore, the Bible is without error. We know that God has revealed Himself truthfully in the pages of Scripture.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
It's a heartache. That was actually a recording of the original demo. This is Wretched Radio. Prepare yourself for a heartache. A young man at the University of Georgia sitting on a bench. I walked up to him hoping to have a religious conversation. Lo and behold, he's actually studying religion. Well, how easy is that segue? You didn't have to segue from anything. You were already there. And that happens a lot in conversations. If you will just listen for your cue, let us continue my engagement with Reese. He was studying religion, all of them. I was trying to share with him the unique nature of Christianity. We had walked through the law. We have not gotten to the sweet news of the gospel yet. And then I am going to try to encourage Reese to choose this day. Will you be on an AC/DC highway or will you get on the road to life? Prepare yourself. It's a heartache.
All right, so we just did a little summary of the commandments. Now, sometimes people think you keep the commandments and then God will accept you when you get to heaven. But here's what we've learned about you and me. We've broken those commandments. So what do you think a just and holy God should do with people who have broken his laws?
Well, obviously, we have a forgiving God.
Hold on. What should a righteous, holy God do? A judge who's going to judge the whole world in righteousness. What should he do with lawbreakers like you and me?
He should punish them.
What is the place of punishment according to the Bible?
Hell.
So, Reese, if you died, God is your judge. The books are open. He knows your thoughts, deeds, everything done in darkness. Your whole life displayed before him. Nothing hidden. He'd find you guilty. What do you think God would do with you?
Send me straight to hell.
That's depressing.
It is if you believe in hell.
Well, it doesn't matter if you believe in it. If it's true, whether you believe in it or not, mm-hmm. It's a depressing thought because you'd be going whether you believe in it or not, right?
Yeah.
All right. Because my belief or lack thereof doesn't change reality. Mm-hmm. Okay? Now, in the Old Testament, there was a lot of talk about a Messiah mm-hmm. to come. Mm-hmm. The New Testament reveals that Messiah as?
Jesus Christ.
That's right. If you remember in the Old Testament, there were a lot of lamb sacrifices. Mm-hmm. You had the Passover. You had the Day of Atonement, and they would kill a lamb for the covering of sins. And it was a fuzzy picture of something better to come. It was all pointing towards something else. There was a guy named John the Baptist who walked the earth at the time of Jesus, and he pointed to Jesus and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." All those fuzzy pictures in the Old Testament of lamb sacrifices were pointing toward the one, the perfect lamb who was going to die Jesus on the cross for the forgiveness of sins. So the Messiah came to save you from the wrath that you will face if you die in your sins. That's the gospel of Christianity, mm-hmm. that you can't do anything to earn your way to heaven. You've earned hell for yourself, but Jesus, because of his perfect life and his perfect righteousness, taking the wrath of the Father on your behalf, the punishment you deserve, he took for you, even though he knew you were going to look with lust, that you would be a coveter, that you'd be an idolater. He loved you and died for you anyway. Rose from the dead, ascended into heaven. And now this day, he commands you to repent and put your trust in him. And he says, if you will do that, he will completely forgive your sins, and he will inherit you and adopt you as his child. That's the good news of the gospel. Mm-hmm. Now, if it's true that God himself came to rescue you, to save you so that you could be forgiven, adopted as a child, if that's true, here's my question for you. God, dying for you, even though you've sinned against him, mm-hmm. can you think of an act that anybody has ever done for you that has demonstrated a greater love than that?
No. Maybe just my mother's love. Yeah.
But imagine somebody that you've offended, that you've willfully rebelled against, kind of shaken your fist at and said, don't care. I'm going to live it my way, and I'm going to put my affections toward other things. Died for you anyway. Now, why would you reject that kind offer, that he is willing to forgive you?
There's not many logical reasons why you would. But... maybe you don't believe in all of his rules, I know there's a lot of sins that are pretty daily in normal life, and it's not that I'm rejecting his acceptance, but I'm living my life.
You prefer living by your set of rules rather than God's set of rules?
Yeah.
Okay. See if this does anything for you, okay? Sometimes people's perception of Christianity is that it's about keeping rules, all right? And God is kind of a, you know, authoritarian, and he wants you to live like this, and he just wants to steal all the fun from our lives. Maybe just to position this a little bit differently. If God was willing to die for you, and he is the most amazingly kind, loving being in the universe, wouldn't it really be a joy and a delight to follow him and his rules because we're grateful for him?
Yeah. I mean, obviously, if I believed in him, then I would be grateful. But I don't.
Here's a question that Jesus asked. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his very soul? Your soul, the thing that lives on for forever. Mm-hmm. It's precious, right?
It is.
All right. So let's say you have whatever it is that you want to do, whatever things that you want to participate in that you enjoy today. If at the end of your life you stand before God, the books are open, and he looks at you and says, you're guilty. You have broken my rules and you knew it. Mm-hmm. There was a guy who sat on a bench with you when you were going to University of Georgia, Athens, and he pleaded with you mm-hmm. to turn from your sins and put your trust in my son, and you rebelled and you wouldn't do it, even though your conscience said, I know I've done wrong and I know I've got a problem with my court date. You lived your whole life for yourself anyway. Mm-hmm. Will it have been worth it?
I think my love for life and the life that I live is stronger than any regret that I'll ever have. I feel like I have so much passion to live and pursue my own happiness, not out of selfishness, but out of life short.
Let me try to be specific. Are you saying that you want to just live your life any way that you want to? That's your desire? Or you don't like the idea of God's rules and just taking all the fun away from you? What exactly are you trying to say here?
I think I want to live my life. His rules are one thing, but...
So let's just pick something. Partying.
Partying.
All right. You don't want to give up partying?
No. Love partying.
Okay. So could I boil it down this way? You love partying more than the God who died for you.
Yes.
So you like partying more than Jesus?
But I like happiness more than I like Jesus.
Yeah, you know what?
I connect happiness to the things that I do, and I live my life every day in the pursuit of happiness, and that's the one thing that defines my life is happiness. And if I'm living a miserable life, which I am not 100% is going to continue on to an afterlife, why would I want to live such a short life in unhappiness?
Yeah. Well, I was trying to poke at your conscience, remember? Mm-hmm. Try to get there so that you go, you know, I do know that I've been doing wrong. I do know that my life has been wrong. Mm-hmm. I've got a universe that tells me there's a God. My conscience tells me I've sinned against him. So you've got all kinds of intellectual and you've got all kinds of conscience issues going on inside of your brain, but you're suppressing that obvious knowledge because you, Reese, basically want to be the God of your life.
Yes.
Fair enough. All right? I can't force you to do anything. I mean, it looks like you could take me anyway. All right? I can't force you. And that's not what Christianity is about. It's not a turn or burn. That's not the message of Christianity. The message is, yeah, if you don't turn, you will go to hell. But God's so kind, he died to save you. And we should want to repent and put our trust in him because, wow, who wouldn't want to believe and follow that God? As you go through life, whether it's today or in months or years to come, as you start to realize the vanity of what life is, when you have your next hangover or you wake up with your next heartbreak and you start to realize it's all very temporal and fleeting and your conscience troubles you, think about what I shared with you today, because God's offer stands for you. If you'll repent and put your trust in Jesus, as wicked as you've been, whatever it is that you've done, he will completely forget it and forgive you because he's that good. Mm-hmm. That's all I can say to you.
I will take that to heart.
right. Fair enough. You are a gentleman. Really, you are. And you're patient. Thanks for not thumping me. No, all right, man. All right. I hope you do great on your test.
Thank you very much.
All right.
While I am most certainly grateful, he's going to take it to heart. What a heartbreaker. When he flatly states, I'd rather party than have Jesus. Oh, wow. But before we get all depressed about it, there's hope for Reese. There's hope for anyone who has heard the good news of the gospel. Don't be discouraged when somebody says, not interested. You and I are simply called to be faithful. We are not called to convert. That is God's job on God's timetable. So just be faithful. Have the courage to just start a conversation. You never know when it might be set up on a tee for you, because it often is. Share the law, share the gospel, call them to repentance and faith. And even if they break your heart on the bench, there is still hope. This is Wretched Radio.